take out your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Today we are going to continue our study called Your Fellow Pursuers. And for those of you who are just joining us, the focus of this study is to embrace the fact that you, as a believer in Jesus, have some powerful things pursuing along with you as you pursue the will of God for your life. And Mark 16, 17, which we'll see in just a minute, calls these pursuers signs. And it says these signs follow those that believe. Everybody say they follow. They follow. So they can't be like a sign that's out there on the freeway that's stationary, that never moves. These are signs that are actually pursuers that accompany us and go with us as we fulfill the call of God on our lives. So let's look at Mark chapter 16. We're going to begin to read at verse 15. And this is Jesus talking, giving his final instructions to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Here he is, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's about to go and sit down at the right hand of the Father. And these are the final words that he says to his disciples. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Sounds like offensive words, doesn't it? I don't mean offensive in the fact that they say something to me that hurts my feelings. But it sounds like Jesus is calling us to go on the offensive. He didn't say, go home, sit, and seek your own prosperity. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Release the power that has changed your life into other people's lives. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then look at verse 17. He said, and these signs, or these pursuers, will follow those who believe and respond to my call. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so today, I want to take a look at another one of these pursuers. We've been looking at them over the last few weeks, and I want to take a look at another one today that I'm calling freedom from the world's poison. Freedom from the world's poison. Now, you may remember, as you've studied about our Savior Jesus, Jesus' ministry was to the lost sheep of Israel primarily. He came to minister to the Israelites. His ministry was somewhat localized. As a matter of fact, depending upon who you listen to and what scholar that you study, Jesus never ventured anywhere more than 90 to 200 miles away from his home in Nazareth. I know, and that's in his ministry time. I'm not talking about the time when he went to Egypt and as a young child, but I'm talking about in his ministry time. He never ventured very far away from his hometown, never traveling very far. And before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that he was sending them to the ends of the earth to minister to every creature. In Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, Jesus said this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You shall receive power. Power to do what? To be my witnesses. Everybody say, to be his witnesses. Be his witness. You've received power to be his witnesses. He said, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and all the way to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is sending us out. He is sending you out. He has given you power to see change happen in the areas that he's sending you to. And every single one of you in this room needs to be asking a very serious question. You need to be asking the Lord, Lord, where are you sending me, and what group of people have you called me to touch for your glory? Every one of you. As we said earlier, the Bible tells us that the fivefold ministry is equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. how many of you are a saint? Or at least God calls you one. Hallelujah. And if we were in Africa and I said hallelujah, everybody would say what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, they'd say amen. They go, amen. All right. Well, it's true. And, you know, you're going to stand before the Lord someday and you're going to give an account for how you've lived your life. And part of the account that you're going to be taken there is, did you go? Did you go into your world, in your sphere of influence, into the people that God called you to touch, and did you release the power of the Holy Spirit in that sphere? Have you ever thought about that, that you're going to stand before God and give an account of that? But you are. Because God has anointed us to be world changers. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing, but through Him, we can do all things. Everything that He has called us to do, we can do through the power of God that resides on us. And He's called you to go to some nooks and some crannies in this earth and enforce His lordship in those areas. And as you go on these adventures, you're going to be going places where the culture is very different from what you're used to. I know Randy has experienced that as he's gone around the world. And you saw some of the pictures earlier. In many ways, the Philippines is ahead of where we are because they're allowing the distribution of scriptures in their schools. They're allowing their students to receive Bibles. They're allowing their students to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you can also see that in many ways, they need help economically and in lots of other ways. And God is sending you into some nook and cranny in this world to minister the power of Jesus Christ. And when you go, it's not going to be like home. And guess what? That's the reason some of you don't want to go. Man, some people are 35, 40 years old, still living at home. Just because they can't ever get free of that familiarity. But Jesus is telling us, if you want to experience life and life to the fullness, then you're going to have to be willing to leave your country, your people, the place that you're familiar with, and go to the place that I show you. That is how you fulfill your father Abraham's destiny on your life. You must be willing to go and not sit and not soak and not sour. God's calling you to go. I was talking to Angela Merrill before the service, and I asked her. She's in school. She's over at Christ for the Nations. And I was asking her, I said, well, Angela, what are you going to major in when you're there? And she was telling me she was going to do a dual major. She was going to major in worship music, and she was going to major in world missions. And I asked her, I said, well, where's God calling you to go? And you know, one of the things she said, and she laughed, but it touched my heart. She said, everywhere, anywhere. Anywhere He tells me. She said, I have a special heart for Korea and Mexico. She said, but I'll go anywhere that the Lord tells me to go. And it was at that point in time that I began to understand, Pastor Bob, that's the revelation that's necessary in every single one of our lives.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's one thing to sit around and gripe about the way the world is. It's another to hear Jesus say, go. And to say, yes, Lord, I'll go where You're telling me to go. I went out last Tuesday with a group of people in a lot of heat. We went out and we went door to door in an area of this city, knocking on people's doors, touching them, feeding them, and just talking to them about God and what God wanted to do in their lives. And brothers and sisters, if you're uncomfortable with going, then you're in the wrong church. Because I'm going to push you, turn you around, and kick you in the rear. Okay? Until you receive the revelation that we are going on the offensive against the devil for the glory of God, to see the lordship of Jesus established, and to see the reason that our Savior shed His precious blood be realized in people's lives. How do you honor his sacrifice? By living for him as Lord and by taking that to the world. That's how you honor him. And we are called to do that as believers in the Lord. And you're going to go to places a lot different. And you'll be entering countries and territories over which demons have had their way for centuries. And during these journeys, you're going to encounter receptivity on some people's parts for the gospel. And some places you're going to go and you're going to encounter opposition as you carry the Lordship of Jesus. And some of you, when I say that word opposition, it scares you so bad. But you know, why are we afraid? The Lord has equipped us. He has dressed us in his armor. He has given us his power. He has said that he is interceding at the right hand of the Father for us as we move. He is saying yes to every promise of God for us as we live in this world and as we move in obedience to him. You know what our life is saying? Amen. For the glory of God. And you know what? I'll be hanged if I'm going to stand before God someday and look and him look at me and say, you did not take seriously my commands. Brothers and sisters, it's time that we move out and go on the offensive for the Lord Jesus. And I know we're going to go some places where there's going to be new customs that are going to make us feel a little uncomfortable. And I know we're going to go places where we're going to have some new foods that are very different from the foods that we eat at home. Because God's not always going to send you a place where they watch the Food Network. He's not going to always send you to a place where people watch Bobby Flay and Giada, De Laurentiis, and all these other folks. He's going to send you places that are very, very different from the place that you're used to. And the food will be prepared differently and cooked and presented in a different way than you know. But Jesus gave instructions about the food. And here's why I'm talking about this today. And here's why Jesus talked about this. Because there's so many of us that are paralyzed by fear. Fear of the unknown. Last week we talked about the power to take up serpents. And we talked about how a serpent is something that operates in camouflaged. You usually don't see it until you're right on top of it. Okay? Or until it's threatening to strike you. Or until it already has struck you. And a lot of people will not go because they're afraid of the unseen and the unknown and the unfamiliar. But Jesus has commanded us to go in spite of those things. And he has given us direct instructions as to what to do. In Luke chapter 10, verse 5, he said, here's what you do when you're presented with food that you're unfamiliar with as you're on my mission. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, then your peace will rest on it. If not, your peace will return back to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Well, I don't like what they're serving over here. I don't like the food that they present us over here. I'm not comfortable with where they've told us to sleep. I don't like the conditions we're in. It's too hot. I'm used to air conditioning. I can't sleep without an air conditioner. I can't sleep without a fan on. I've got to have the ambient noise. Or there's too much noise here. I can't sleep. And Jesus said, you are carrying peace as you go out. And he's saying, I am with you wherever you go. The Prince of Peace is ruling in your situation. And as you go, and he said, whatever house you enter into, you stay there. Don't start moving around because you're uncomfortable. Because this is not about our comfort. Now, I just want to share a prophecy with you. If this is still about your comfort to you, and life is about your comfort, and you securing your comfort, then God's going to make you uncomfortable. So just get prepared. How you like that prophecy? Is that a good one? You're right. If you've got to have all your ducks in a row, then God's going to kill a few of your ducks. Either that or scatter them a little bit. If you've got to have all the questions answered, then God's going to get you in situations where you don't have answers for everything. To teach you why to be mean to you. I knew he wanted to be mean to me. Oh, don't get in the Mr. Bill syndrome. And some of you don't even know what that is. You're not old enough. But anyway, don't get in that syndrome. This is not about you at all. This is about God. And God is teaching us. He's growing us up. And he's kicking the American out of us. And getting the citizen of heaven born in us. Placed in us. He's saying, I'm making you like me. I'm tempering you and making you strong and getting all this sissified stuff out of you. And he'll do all those kind of things. But to get you to the place to where you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. We're so busy praying, telling God what to do and how to do it. Lord, let me tell you, we're going to get down here and pray, and we're going to pray for a whole hour. We're just going to tell God how to do this, what to do, and we're going to demand answers from God. Boy, anytime I've ever gotten a situation like that, things got real quiet. Or I heard the Lord tell me what I just told you. This isn't about you. This isn't about your understanding. This isn't about your comfort. This is about you obeying me through your gratefulness and love for me because I first loved you. Will you go? You remember Moses when God had that little talk with Moses at the burning bush? You guys remember that? Moses threw every excuse at God in the book to try to get out of doing what God wanted him to do. I'm too stupid. I can't talk. I'm afraid. They don't know me. They don't know you. He threw everything at God. And finally, God told him, he said, okay, I can see you're scared. I'll send a partner with you. Okay, well, that wasn't enough, right? And so finally, God looked at him and said, you're either going to go or you're not. And he said, my word is go. I have learned that my arguments and my rationalizations to God have never changed his mind. All right? And you say, well, I haven't heard him say go. You don't have to hear him. Right there in the red. That's still in the red in my Bible. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get out of your comfort zone. Go to the nursing home. Go wherever I tell you to go and open the door for you to go. And share the power of God with the people you encounter. Hallelujah. And as you go, you're going to smell some things you're not used to smelling. You're going to see some things you're not used to seeing. I'll never forget, I'm going to pick on her a little bit. We went to Africa on the last trip. And they took us to the slum outside of Nairobi called Kibera. Kibera has 1,500,000 people living in it. 1,500,000 people living in chicken coops. No running water, no air conditioning, four tin walls and a roof. No door on the front of their house. No sewer system. As a matter of fact, the sewer system's broken and running openly through the middle of where they live. The smell is indescribable. The trash that's been dumped on the location, there's no trash pickup. Trash just goes wherever they throw it. The goats and the pigs are digging through the trash in the same place that their children are looking for food. Little girl, the kids are walking through looking for food. Little girl, right in front of me, dropped her pants, went to the potty, the solid type, right there where all the kids were walking through and going through the trash. Same place. All right? They were cooking fish. Are selling fish out on a little open market there. And I looked at those fish and I thought, oh, Jesus. No, they probably haven't seen any refrigeration at all, ever. And you think about these type of things. And Lacey was ahead of me, and she was walking, and she didn't listen to instructions that morning. And her mother says that she knows that sometimes, but she didn't listen to instructions. She didn't wear her closed-toed shoes that morning. She had on her flip-flops. And I mean, these people were living on a steep hills, weren't they? They're down one side in the valley where the water was, where they're washing their clothes, where the sewer's running into it, and up the other side. So Lacey's walking ahead of me, and next thing you know, her flip-flop gets too much pressure on it, and it breaks, and her little foot goes all into that little stuff that's running down the hill. And you know what? You're going to encounter things that you're not used to. At least she didn't fall. You know? But you're going to see things like that you're not used to. But Jesus said, when you see these things, he said, do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. He said, I have called you there with a purpose, and you are not to take your spoiled attitude into that place. Now, often what they'll set before you is going to be a mystery to you. You'll not know where it came from. You may not be something on your normal diet. You'll not know who killed it, or they may kill it right in front of you, which happens sometimes. You'll not know how long it was dead before it was prepared. Who cooked it, how clean or dirty the kitchen is in which it was cooked, and many, many other type of things like that. It's always fun to go on a mission trip with Pastor Roy because he's kind of particular about what he eats. And boy, I'm telling you, he goes on a crash weight loss diet when we're over there because, you know, I can't even get him to eat Chinese food here in the United States, much less eat anything over there. And I can remember, we've gone several places. I can remember on the last trip that we went out to see a school, and they had prepared a special dinner for us on site. Now, brothers and sisters, I watched as they were preparing the food. Do you remember that? You remember that? I'm just telling you now, if you're a good old American, you would have looked at that and said, oh boy, the fish blood, I don't know how long the fish have been out of the refrigeration, the fish blood's getting mingled with the goat blood, and the goat blood's getting mingled with the vegetables, and all of these other kind of things as they chop them up. And they're cooking it over an open charcoal flame, and the people that are cooking it, they don't have hand sanitizer. Okay? Seriously. And I'm sitting there watching it. And then these words come back to me. And the Lord said, do you believe that I've sent you? And they prepared that for us, and they set it out for us. And before we could get to it, the flies found it. Covered it. Looked like a black cloud. Covered the forks that we were going to eat with. Covered the landing all over the plates that we were going to. And doing whatever flies do on plates. I don't know. And I'm sitting there looking at that, and I can remember, you know, they don't cut meat like we cut meat. You know, I mean, we cut meat to make it look appetizing as well as for it to taste good. They just get a hatchet and just hatchet the meat. You know, you may get a piece of meat that's got two bones sticking out of the end, right, Randy? And it just doesn't look like it. They may serve you some oxtail soup. And I had some oxtail soup, and my piece of oxtail was real big. You know what that means? That means it was real close to the rear end. Because the oxtails get smaller as you go down. Still had the bone in the center. You could look through, you could hold it up there. I could make a mask out if I had two pieces. The Lone Ranger! They served us liver stew one time. That was the first course, liver stew. I looked at that and I told Ron, I said, I did like this so they wouldn't say. I said, I think that's liver. What kind of liver? That's the first question that went in my mind. Whose liver? Start counting people. Do we still have everybody? 6, 7, 12, 14. Yeah, everybody's still here. That's good. But do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not going to be like where you're used to. And you know, batting the flies off of it and trying to keep them out of your mouth before your spoon gets in your mouth, it's a challenge. And you're sitting there eating while the chickens are walking on your table. Seriously. Really. Okay? And I know what a lot of people, they think. They think, I can't do that. Well, you know what I can't do? I can't not go where Jesus says go. To me, that's exciting. And you know what? We didn't have one person get sick on the food. Not one. You know what we did? We prayed for it. What is it, Pastor Parkey? Don't even ask. It's ignorance is bliss. Just let's pray over it. We got hands and we prayed over it and we blessed it and we ate it. And not one person got sick off of it. Because why? Because the Lord has a promise. He's given us a promise along with his commandment, which is you go no deadly thing shall harm you. So, Jesus said that if you drink any deadly thing, in this scripture, it won't harm you. And the word drink here means to drink or to consume. It just doesn't just mean drinking things. It also means you can consume things. Any, this is going to be a jolt to you. Any means anything. Okay? So you could read it like this. And if they consume anything that would normally be fatal. That's the way you could read that. Then Jesus said, if you do that, going where I'm going, it shall not hurt you. What does that mean? Here, if you add that to that, here's what it means. If they consume anything that would normally be fatal or anything that would usually make a person sick, it will have no effect upon them. And you know what? That just doesn't cover how foods are prepared. It also concerns why foods are prepared. Back in the early days, and still to this day, but in the early days, there was a little bit of a disagreement among the apostles because people would prepare food or slaughter food, pagans would, and they would offer that food in worship or as a sacrifice to an idol, which Christians did not worship. And then they would serve that food to their guests or maybe even sell it in the marketplace. And so the Christians were like, well, what about this food that's been offered to these demons? Is that going to hurt us if we eat it? And you know what Paul said? Don't worry about it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said, you bless it, sanctify it to my service, and don't worry about it because I said to you, nothing shall in any means harm you. And you know what this means? This means that you have authority over demons as you go in the Lord. And it doesn't just cover how it's prepared. It covers why it's prepared too. Jesus guaranteed supernatural protection from the works of the devil and from unfamiliar surroundings. And you know, some people have even gone out and gone places where they tried to poison them. And God protected them. And through that, sometimes God changes and saves the whole community. Because they said, my goodness, we tried to kill them. We put poison in their food. They didn't know it. They ate it and they're still alive. But you know what? That type of supernatural transformation is not possible when we've got a lot of Americans who are sitting around saying, I can't go because my constitution is too weak. You see what I'm saying? I can't get into heat over 72. And I understand some people struggle. I'm not saying that. And I understand some people have sicknesses and diseases. But some of you guys are healthier than I am. Healthier than a horse. Really. And you know what? You're so afraid. There's a proverb says, one guy says, I can't go in the street. There's a lion out there. There's a murderer out there. There's a rapist out there. There's this out there. And so you know what Satan uses against us? Fear. Don't you come out here. I'll hurt you. Like a big bully. Isn't that like a bully? Don't you come to Korea. I'll hurt you. This is my country. I'll hurt you. You come out here. I'll hurt you. Well, that country doesn't belong to him. And we're going there to tell him that. And say we are here to declare that this is a land that Jesus bled and died for and belongs to him. And he says, well, I'll just poison you. So, well, let's bless it in Jesus' name. And we just pray over it, and we just eat it, and you know what? We just go on in the name of the Lord. But if you're scared, none of that's going to happen. None of those miracles are going to happen. None of those people are going to be saved. And none of that supernatural power of God is going to be able to be seen. Why? Because His people don't even believe Him. So why should anybody else? It's time for the church to start believing in Jesus. It's time. Everybody say it's time.
It's time.
It's time. And I'm getting excited about going to dangerous places. We're going to India next year. And the other day, Rhonda was telling me, well, the government's done some things in India, and now there's a mess, and now there's riots, and said, oh, this is the perfect time to go. I love going when it's like this. I mean, I'm not being stupid. I just do. I like going over there when there's trouble and things like that. I mean, I want to be there. I mean, I told David Hatley when I was in Africa one time, I said, take me up to Somalia. He says, now, wait a minute. He said, do you really want to go? And I said, yeah. He said, I can't take the rest of the team. It's too dangerous. He said, I can't take responsibility for that. And I said, that's okay. Just you and I can go. And you know what? I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing in these days. I don't have a death wish. I've got a pretty wife. I've got halfway sane children. Got cute grandchildren, you know. But, man, my heart, I look at these young guys. Josh, isn't your heart just beating to do something powerful? Doesn't that just make you? I see your leg. Oh, just show me where to go, man. Just put me on the plane. I'm ready. You know, these young guys, God's not raising them up, these young guys and girls, to sit and play pinochle or whatever that game is. Mexican train. He's not raising them up to do that. He's raising them up to send them. And they're going to get out there, and, man, they're going to be standing looking at something that the enemy has ravaged, and they're going to look at their hearts, tears are going to get in their eyes, and they're going to look at one another and say, this is what we were born for. This is what we were born for, is to be here at this time, in this period of time, in this part of life. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're going in the name of the Lord. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, what am I saying? We got to rebuke the spirit of fear that keeps us at home. Because we're afraid of what we can't see, what we may eat, what we may encounter when we get out there. I tell you what we're going to encounter. We're going to encounter the power of God. The devil fears our obedience. So you know what he tries to do? He tries to unleash a spirit of fear on us to keep us from going. And I'll end with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you're feeling fear to go, that's not coming from God. I'm not saying there's not some apprehension in going somewhere new, but I'm saying if you're feeling fear and paralyzed by fear and giving in to fear, that spirit's not coming from the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power and love and a sound mind. How is love seen, Zach Carlson? By acts of service. By going. By putting feet to it. That's how love is seen. Amen? So you know what? We're going to take Jesus at His word. And we're going to go anywhere He tells us to go at any time. Some of you need to get your passport and get it ready. Because over the next few years in this church, we're going to be going some places. Right? And we need to be ready to set our feet on the ground. And we're going to have to be believing what He said. You know? And we're not only going to have to, but we will. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for everything that You've done. I believe Your word. I believe Your word. I believe Your word. Lord, some of us are so afraid of the people at our workplace. They don't like Jesus. What are they going to say if I make a stand? What are they going to do if I talk about him? I'm going to be rejected. Lord, deliver us from the fear of man. Father, there's no miracle possible if we give in to fear. The miracle becomes possible when we stand up and say, yes, Lord, I will love these people even if they don't love me in return. I will offer them hope even if they do not receive it or laugh at it. Father, in Jesus' name, deliver us from fear. Deliver us from fear. Say that over yourself. Lord, deliver me from fear. Deliver me from fear. There could come a day in this country. In this country. Where packs of people roam the streets because they're hungry. Because there's a breakdown in law. Because there's not enough police to be able to take care of everything. It could happen in this nation. All it takes is one massive economic downturn, and I mean a big one. And it's going to be every man for himself the way we are now. And you know what? We can't be afraid. We can't be afraid. Like, what did that lady say? She said, we didn't thank God for the flood. I mean, but she said it provided a what? Opportunity. An opportunity. So as we come toward the end, these are the greatest days of the church. Lie before us. The greatest harvest, I believe, in the history of mankind is going to happen. But it's going to happen through young women like Angela Merrill. It says, I'll go wherever the Lord tells me to go. Wherever he says, go, I'll go. I live for that. I just live to hear that voice and live to know that I'm walking exactly where he wants me to go. So, Father, today we say yes to the Lord and no to our fear. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're doing. Father, I just want to honor you by obeying your word. In Jesus' precious name.